So last week, I'm going to need something for my throat here for close by because I might get a little sticky. So last week I had these big wooden pieces here, and I explained to you that at our company we take those, we take large pieces of wood and we make beautiful picture frames and door rails, cabinet doors and door rails. And these were three on what we called masters, because for instance, this week we are going to ship out 7,000 lineal feet of just this one. It would be a real shame to make 7,000 feet the wrong shade. You know what I mean? That would be a disaster. If I was trying to match this and I hit that, that's not good. So as we make our 7,000 feet, we're going to hold this up to that and make sure that pieces coming out match the master so that we produce the right shade of product. Every piece of this isn't exactly alike, as you can maybe see, because wood has its characteristics. So you and I aren't all exactly alike either, you know? You and I have varying shades of talent, personality, things of that nature. But we all make a very nice picture of Christ. We're all within reason, and even with our various little shade differences, you and I can make a beautiful, beautiful picture of Christ. And so this particular series we started is having to do with that. It has to do with that you and I are painting in our life. It's finishing our life to match Jesus Christ. And we want to make sure that we are painting and staining and finishing our life to match the master, that master, with his master right here. We want to make sure we match. And so John wrote this book, this late in his life. Very late in his life, he wrote these letters, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. He's the gospel writer of John, but later, he would write this book, 1 John, and that's exactly what he says. He says, I'm writing these things to you. Me and my other apostle buddies, we were firsthand eyewitness. We heard him, we seen him, we touched him, we hugged him, we held him. Remember I asked you, I said, to imagine in your mind's eye Jesus coming to the service and us being able to go up and shake his hand and hug him. And John says, we did that. And I'm writing to you so that you will fellowship with us and with him, so that we know him, we rest in him, and you and us, and that we are painting with the right color, the right shade, so that we're fellowshipping with him, that your joy and our joy will be full, will be complete. And that will only happen if you paint with the right color. That will only happen if you stain with the right color. John writes that you might walk in the light as he is in the light. And so we want to be in his light, not our light. I don't want to be in my light. I have light. I know what's light. I know what's right. No, I don't. I want to walk in his light, and I got to walk in his right. Not mine, his. I've got to stain in his color. Not mine. I think that's good. No, that doesn't match the master. I got to stain in his color. He says, if you do, you have fellowship with him. Fellowship with him, spirit, soul, your inner being. You fellowship with him. You see him, you hear him, you know him. There's a soul-spirit fellowship. And when we do that, our joy goes off the chart. I saw Jesus. I heard Jesus. Jesus is moving in my life. He's moving in our church. Jesus. I met Jesus. That's joy. That's joy you won't find on this planet. It's indescribable joy. So today, there are a couple things. We're just getting started into this. But John gives us a couple things to keep us on track, painting with the right color, staining in the right shades, finishing this beautiful, beautiful thing called the church, having fellowship and joy. He gives us two things that we can kind of check with the master on. I'm going to be honest with you. I've got notes. I've got things. I've got stuff. I've got this. I'm just too excited about this, and I just feel like throwing those notes away and just kind of going, getting to this one point right here, because it's crazy. It's at the end of the message, and I'm killing myself until I get there, because I want to show you this. It's so amazing. So just bear with me today if I act stupid or goofy or whatever I do. Just hang in there with me, because I've got a lot going on up here this morning. So, how many of you years ago, you ever saw a cartoon, like a Disney thing called The Jungle Book? You ever see The Jungle Book? All right, me and Mark's working on The Jungle Book, all right? So this much my wife knows, and you, if you look at her right now, she's like, no, you're not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. We'll show it. There's this part in The Jungle Book that I love. It's my favorite part of The Jungle Book. And what it is Mowgli is that little boy, and he's with this big old huge ape. I don't know his name right now, but he's like this witch doctor or something. What is he? Louis? King Louis. All right. So you might know this. You have a twisted mind like mine. So King Louis is singing to Mowgli, I want to be like you. Ooh, ooh. I want to walk like you, talk like you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Right? Right? King Louis wants to make fire like him. I want to make fire. And that I do that at the house. I'm walking through the house and I go, I want to be like you. Ooh, ooh. And she thinks I'm off my rocker. Look at her. She thinks I'm nuts. That's the song we got to sing to Jesus, though. I want to walk like you. I want to talk like you. I want to be like you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I love that song. No, Debbie. No, Debbie. Put it away, Debbie. Put your hands on the car and step away. That's what John is saying, too. And he says it right here, and it's hard to see sometimes, but in chapter 1, we're going to be in 1 John chapter 1, chapter 2. Mark, what's our first references? John chapter 1, verse 5, what is it? 1, verse 5 to 2:6. Okay, so I'm going to be surfing through there. Let me just read. Let's just read a little bit, beginning at chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we heard from him and we proclaim to you. I heard this from Jesus and I'm telling it to you. That God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So listen, first point, we want to talk like you. Ooh, ooh. We want to talk like Jesus. We have got to say the same thing. We've got to talk like Jesus. Okay? So verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. So if we say I fellowship with Jesus, me and Jesus, we're connecting, I'm walking with him, but we don't live like he lived, we lie. We're lying. We're not fellowshipping with him at all. We don't practice the truth. There's the truth, and I don't practice it. I'm lying if I say I have fellowship with Jesus. You and I look around, and we see people say, I'm a Christian, and they're not practicing the truth. and they're liars. That's what the Word of God says. You're a liar. I want to talk like you. All right? Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, His light, not my light, as He is in the light, as in His light, if we walk in His light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And that's how we have fellowship with Him, because He's cleansing us from our sin. That's the only way you can fellowship with the Holy God, is if your sin's being cleansed. We got to walk in His light. And so many times we walk in our light. I know what's right and I know what's light. And I know God and I know this and this is right and I'm okay and everything's fine. And here's my really crude illustration for you this morning. Forgive me. I know there's no children in here. But here's quite honestly what we do. Y'all know what a hooker is, right? You do. It's the oldest profession known to man. And a hooker means cheap, quick thrill. That's what it means. I don't gotta go home with this woman. I don't gotta buy her clothes or pay her insurance. I just go, money on table, get a cheap thrill, and I go home. And sometimes, quite honestly, we treat grace and hooker as the same thing. Quite honestly, I want to sin. And instead of loving my wife and going home to my wife and having a relationship with my wife, I throw the grace card out there like a cheap hooker because I want my thrill of my sin. Grace, hey man, don't talk to me about my sin. Grace, right? God forgives it. It's grace. We're not in the old, it's grace. And I treat that like a hooker. So I want my cheap thrill. I want my sin. I want to do this. Look, this is fun and this is what I want to do. Don't give me that grace. Grace. Well, grace ain't a hooker. Grace was paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not a cheap hooker. And I don't want to hear anybody talking about grace. Grace, I get to do what I want, live how I want. No, you don't. That's not grace. That's sin. That's prostituting God in His grace. That's called adultery in the Bible. It's called spiritual adultery. It's called idolatry. It's called, I love that more than I love God. Grace, that is so wrong. We walk in His light as He is in the light. Not my light, not my cheap thrills, and I'm going to throw grace on it. So I don't got to have a relationship with Him. I'm just going to throw this thing out there. Man, that is so low grade. And I hear so many people doing that today. That is, you don't understand your scripture at all. You don't understand your Savior at all. And I get John when he says, you're a liar. You don't practice the truth. We're not going to do that. We are not going to do that. Because we want to talk like you, Jesus. We want to say the same as you say. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, washes us of our sin if we say the same thing He does. Verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, I don't think there's anybody in this room who would say, I don't sin. Is there? No, we're better than that, right? So everybody in this room sins. And if you say you have none, you're deceiving yourself. The rest of us think you're nuts, and the truth is not in you. The truth is not in you. You're not painting with the right color. I'll be honest with you, the color's not even in you. The truth is not in you. Verse 9. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's how we have fellowship one with another and with Him. Well, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us. Walking in the light is then confessing our sins. If we say, oh, I haven't sinned, well, that's not sin. No, that's not sin. Grace. No. I didn't sin. No. We make Him a liar. His word is not in us. So you want to paint by the right color, stain the right color, walk the right walk, talk the right talk. I want to talk like you, Jesus. I want to talk like you about sin and about my life. It's not that I haven't sinned. It's not that I don't sin. I do. And when sin comes up, I don't say, I haven't sinned. I didn't sin. That's not sin. We say the same thing, Jesus. We confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to purify us. We say the same thing. That's what this word confess means. The word confess, if we confess our sins, you and I always think about this. We always think about it. We picture ourselves on the side of our bed going, oh, Jesus, I sinned today. I did this. And that's confession, and that is it. But in its essence, it is then agreeing with Jesus. And that's what this word means. You are saying the same thing. You are agreeing with Jesus. What I did today was sin. You said it's sin. In your light, it's sin. And I did it today. And I need you to forgive me. You agreed with Him. Now, so let's just pretend. And here's our models right here. Or Amanda, it'll work. This has probably never happened. My grandson's never. So, okay, one of these young parents right here, they walk into the room. They had this plate of cookies on the kitchen table. They know they made 12. They walk into the room, there's 10. Walk into the other room, and there sits Madison, or there sits Henry, and they're sitting on the couch watching TV with cookie crumbs all over their lap. And they said, I told you not to eat those cookies yet. They're for supper. Why did you eat 2 cookies? I didn't eat them. Well, you have cookie crumbs all over your lap, and I'm missing 2 cookies, and the other boys, they're down the street. There's no one here but me or you, so I didn't. Didn't do it. They're saying they didn't sin. Well, where did all those cookie crumbs come from? Well, Mom, and then throw out some excuse. I didn't know you didn't want me to eat those cookies, and so I really shouldn't get in trouble because you didn't really tell me not to eat those cookies, but I mean, you kind of did, but no, you didn't. But and they still haven't said the same thing that you're saying yet. Now they're saying, what I did, I'm not responsible for because you really didn't make it clear, and I thought, and so I ate those cookies. Okay, maybe I did, but you didn't tell me, and so it's not really sin, Mom. You don't punish me because I really didn't do wrong because I... And they're saying, I haven't sinned. And you're waiting as a parent. You're listening to this and the little red thing in you is just kind of rising up as the temperature gets hotter and your face is getting redder and you're getting mad because this is a no-brainer. And first you said you didn't, now you said maybe you did, bought this and you don't want punished for it. And I'm waiting for you to agree with me and say, okay, Mom, I did. And finally you say, look, if you don't come clean about those cookies, you're not going roller skating tonight at the roller skating party. All right, I ate the cookies. And even in that confession, there's some degree of relief in you as a parent. Okay, great. Now we can deal with this and move forward. And whatever you decide to do at that point is up to you. But even in that confession of guilt, at least they weren't saying they didn't. At least they weren't making some lame excuse to why they weren't wrong in doing what they did. And they agreed. They finally agreed. I ate the cookies. And quite honestly, that's all of us. That's all of us. We never grow up. That's all of us. We're all sitting here with cookie crumbs on our lap, and God's looking down and go, are you thinking you're fooling someone? You're not fooling me. And I'm sitting here, and what you did today, I'm waiting for you just to agree with me, because I can see real clearly, and I'm going, and you're just going, oh, really, it wasn't me. Oh, God, no. Well, that's not sin anymore today, because this is 2017, and that's not sin no more, right? I mean, I didn't know, and Pastor Terry didn't preach on that, or he did. He said it wasn't that bad. I said this. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, God. In your light, in your right, that's sin. And at that point, it says, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. At that point, rather than grounding us, rather than putting his foot in our rear end, Jesus cleanses us and forgives us of all unrighteousness. Because if you confess, if you agree, if you come clean, the blood of Jesus washes it away. And we have fellowship with him. We walk with him. And there may be consequences of that sin. I'm not saying there's not. But we fellowship with him. That's how we fellowship with him. If your child never comes clean about those cookies, you have no choice but to step in with a heavy hand or a heavy something, and you deal with it, and there's just this thing, and you go back and you tell your wife, how are we going to work with her or him, because they're not telling me the truth. They're not. How are we going to do this? How are we going to explain the importance of truth here? And you're just, there's this thing, and but if they will just be honest with you and tell you, talk to you and be truthful, you can work. You can build this child, and there's some real healthy things that can happen even when they do wrong. That's the exact same thing with us and our Lord. It's the exact same thing. Everyone here is a sinner, and everyone here sins, and the sins of yesteryear are still the sins today. And this is the real important thing that you and I have to know, that we have to say the same thing. We have to talk like you, Jesus, for us to fellowship and know the true joy of him. Of him. That's so true for us. And listen to me. That's what's happening in our culture that you and I are repulsed by, because so many churches, so-called churches and Christians, are saying what was sin by the master is no longer sin today. That's not sin. We're okay with that at our church. No, that's not sin. No, that's not really sin. They're saying it's not sin. They haven't sinned. And they're accepting things that are truly sin. And they're holding, what they're going to do is hold themselves up, and the master just doesn't count anymore. They're making their own master now. That's critically important for the church in America today. It's critically important for me and you. It's critically important for our families, for these young families, these young kids, that they understand the truth and the value of it before our Lord and Savior, that we continue to say the same thing he says. We have to walk in his light, not the light of the culture, not what they say is light and right, in his light. We have to say the same thing that Jesus says. And if we can't, and if we don't, we're not painting with the right color. He says, the truth is not in you, the word is not in you, you're a liar. Whoever says, I know him, and doesn't keep his commandments, he's a liar and the truth's not in him. He doesn't practice it. That's so important for us as believers. If you and I are really going to paint Jesus with the right color, we've got to say the same thing about sin he says. And know that in the truth, in the confession of doing that, is total cleansing and forgiveness and joy and fellowship with the Savior. It's not bad. It's good. It's good. It's wonderful. Second, I want to talk like you. I want to walk like you. Ooh, ooh. I want to live like you. Ooh, ooh. I want to live like you. We got to talk like Jesus, and we got to walk like Jesus. We got to live like Jesus. That sounds big. That sounds big. We're getting to that exciting moment for me. Whoever says I know him but doesn't keep his commandments. Way too many people say, I know Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I know, but we don't keep his commandments. It says you're a liar and the truth is not in you. Chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3. Mark has a verse of this, but I'm going to read much more. So leave that verse up, Mark, and I'm going to begin reading back here a little ways. I'm going to begin reading at 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Follow along. See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. That's love. God says, children, you're children of God. You're my children, and we are. The reason the world doesn't know us is that it didn't know him, that you can't expect them to understand us. Verse 2, beloved, loved ones, children of God, we are God's children now. Right now, you are God's children. Right now, you're his child. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we'll be like him. Okay? I want to walk like you. I want to talk like you. When he appears, we are going to be like him, because we'll see him just as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. So we're on a purification thing. Everyone who has this hope is on a purification thing. Verse 4. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. So, I mean, if you're okay to sin, you just make your own law, and that law doesn't count for anything, really. So you're a lawless person. That's who you are. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there's no sin. Jesus came to take away sin, and in him, in Jesus, there's no sin. Verse 6, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. So if you're going to paint with that right color, just understand this. If you're okay with sin and you just keep on doing what you're doing because that's you, and you walk in your light and in your right and not his, and you don't call it sin anymore, so you didn't sin and you don't sin, and it's grace, and just know that you don't know him. You've never seen him, and you don't know him. Verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. And there are so many deceivers out there. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning, this is getting really bad here. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil's been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Whoa. Now, I really hate to say that about family or friends. I mean, I really hate to say that about people I love. you're of the devil. And I don't. I typically don't say, you're of the devil. But that's what the Word of God says. That's what the Master says. Understand that this person who just goes on sinning, they practice it. They're okay with it. They don't confess it. They don't certainly don't say the same thing as he says about it. They typically deny it's sin, and they typically say, look, Anna, come on, we're all in this together. It don't matter. There's no sin, just God. I'm doing the best I can, and I'm going to, you know. That the Bible very clearly says, if you continue in sin, if you live in it, if you practice it, and you're not practicing righteousness, you're not practicing right living, you're just practicing your sin, you're not living in him, you're not living like him, you don't know him at all. And worse, you're of the devil. Your father, the devil, was really good at that from the beginning. You're just walking in your father's footsteps, the devil. That's what John says. That's what the Master says. So some of the words they've used in this scripture are purifiers. If you're in him, you're purifying yourself. If you have this hope, you're purifying yourself. It says that the love of God is being perfected in you. If you confess your sins and you say the same thing and you walk in his commandments, it says that the love of God is being perfected in you. The truth is not, but whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected in you. By this we know that we are in him. So to walk in his light, to fellowship with him, we say the same things. We're not perfect. We sin, and what we call sin, we say the same thing about sin that he does, but we do sin because it says we sin. There's no one that's not without sin. So how does that work? You don't practice sin. You practice righteousness. How does that work? That's confusing, Ted. How does that work? I sin, and if I say I don't, then I'm a liar. But if I practice sin, I don't know him. It's in those words. You're a purifier. The love of God is being completed or perfected. You're in this growth. You're in this change. You're in this movement. It's a purifying. You're kicking out sin. It comes, and you kick it out. The love of God is being purified, perfected in you. You keep his commands. You walk in his ways. Chapter 2, verse 6. Whoever says he abides in him, I'm in him, I fellowship with him, I love him. Listen. He ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. I want to walk like you. I want to talk like you. You ought to live the same way he lived. If you really know Jesus, if you really want to paint with the right color, you ought to talk like him. You ought to walk like him. Ooh, ooh, ooh. That's what it says. You ought to walk just like he walked. You ought to live just like Jesus lived. Terry, are you kidding me? Am I perfect? Nope. Do I sin? Yep. Well, how do I walk in his light? How do I do that? Because I'm being purified. And the love is being perfected. It's not there yet. And when he comes back, I'll be like you. Ooh, ooh, because then I'll see you just as you are. Right now, me and you, we're on a purifying roll. We're on a perfecting roll. We're not perfect, we're being perfected. But you and I, you and I have to say, it has to start there with the truth and the reality of saying what he says about this life, about the truth of his commandments and his word, about the truth of what sin is and who we are in it. We have to start there saying the same thing. Father, this is right and this is sin. And then he can purify, and then he can perfect, and then we grow. Just like our children. We're his children. Beloved, you are now children of God. Now. Did you eat those cookies? Yes. Yes, I did. That's not bad. That's good. And I will wash you of every sin you've ever committed. So now we finally get to that exciting end last moment. I've been waiting to share with you since I put this message together. Keep that up there. I think, it's my opinion, even when I preach this message to you, who I think this is a growing, strengthening group of believers, I think we are growing stronger. We still sit back a little bit and we gulp great big. I got to walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus. But I think when you and I go out and we share Jesus, and I know a number of you are, and we try and explain Jesus to friends, family, loved ones, neighbors. So often we say, you know, we love Jesus. Jesus is so good. Jesus loves you. And we often get in response, well, I'm thinking about it. Well, I'm not sure. There's some things I want to look into deeper, or and I think, I really think that in a lot of their minds, what they're really thinking about is, I'm not sure I can do this. Because they know they're going to need to walk like you, talk like you. And I think a lot of the people we share Jesus with aren't really sure they can take their life, which is really in the dark in some areas. There's a lot of good in some other people, but they have some areas that are really in the dark. They don't know that means they're totally in the dark, but they have a few dark areas in their life, and they're really not sure they can come out of that darkness and get into the light and stay there and hold it there. I'm not sure I can follow through with this. I mean, I could do it for a couple weeks, but I'm not sure I could hang in there with this. I'm not sure I can do it. I'm not sure I can be a cookie cutter like you folk down there at Cornerstone. And they don't even know that we're not cookie cutters. We all have our different shades, and we're all growing and being purified and perfecting in different ways. And we're just as grumpy as anybody else on Monday morning. But I think a lot of people thinking about Jesus, I think in their heart they just know. They know who he is, and they know he's the truth, and they know it's good, but they're just not sure they could live up to it. They still got to go back home to their families. They still got to go back to work. They still got to go back. And quite honestly, some of their sin and their darkness and their habits and their things are fun. And they just don't know that they're ready to give up that fun yet. That's a true story. And I would say, and I hope you'll say to those people that they're exactly right. They can't. You won't be able to step out of that into this as you sit there today. You can't. You're exactly right. Where you sit today without Christ, you could never match up. You could never fit into the light. At least you could for a while, but pretty soon it's going to come out, and you're going to go back and be exposed for what you are. And you're right. You're right. But then this verse here comes along, and it just blows everything away. Everything. This verse has to be memorized. It has to be read. Are you reading it? No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. And he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. Go back to that other screen, Mark. Go back to one right before that. So here's the deal. You're in the dark. And quite honestly, we look at your life, and you've been sinning for a long time. And look. You can't practice sin and know the Lord. You don't. So you and I know it's painful for us when we lose a loved one, or we lose a good friend who prayed that prayer when they were 10, but the rest of their life they really didn't want anything to do with church. We're going to say the same thing God says. They were lost. They were lost. You don't practice sin and say you know him. You don't. You're lost. And that person that once was in church for quite a while and they left church 20 years ago, and there's no intent. We got to say the same thing. You're lost. No one born of God makes a practice of it. Oh, you will sin, but you can't live in it. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I just said? He cannot keep on sinning because he's been born of God. And that's the most beautiful words you and I have ever seen. Because you have something now, you're thinking about Christianity, and you don't know if you can fit. You don't know if you can do it, and you can't. And the way to is to step into, to confess, to say, here I am. I have sin in my life. I don't know if I can get past it. I don't know if I can fit into righteousness, because the reason you do that, you confess, I'm coming to Jesus. I'm begging you, come to Jesus now. Give yourself to him now, because once you do that and the Spirit comes in, you can't keep going in your sin. The only way out of it is to come to him and let the Spirit come in and stop you from doing it and create righteousness in you. You can't go forward once the Spirit comes in. And you and I, and let me just say, not just unbelievers, you and I, if it wasn't for the Spirit, the seed in us, we'd be chained to one sin after another after another. I have addictive behaviors, and it would come in and it would just latch onto me, its tentacles, and would never let go. And I know people like that, don't you? But you and I gave our life to Christ when we were so weak and broken. No way would I have ever cleaned my life up. Ask them. No way would I have ever cleaned my life up. Do you know how I got from there to here? I gave my life and the seed came in and I had to stop. I couldn't keep going. He came in and stopped me. Because I can't. I can't go on. Took me a year to get rid of some habits. I'm still learning some. I'm still purifying. Love of God is still being perfected in me. Do I love like I should? No. It's happening. Why? Not because I said, well, I want to be a Christian and I think I can act and do like they're doing. I think you can't. But once you give your life to Him, you say, hey, I'm saying the same thing you're saying. I'm a dead in the water sinner, and I need forgiveness, and I need you. And the seed comes in, you can't keep going. And He will stop you. I don't know if it's 6 months or a year. You will not practice sin for the rest of your life. You will not keep going in this. I guarantee He'll change you. He'll stop it. You never will. You never will. That's beautiful. That's beautiful right there. I know so many people chained to addictions, chained to this, chained to that, chained to attitudes, chained to not saying the same thing God says. And rather they'd say, no, that's not sin. And they grab their hooker and they throw the grace card over it so they can enjoy their pleasure instead of saying, Lord, Holy Spirit, take me and make me to walk like you and to talk like you. Because I can't. And you can't no longer. You can no longer keep on sinning. Because He was born of God. Born of God. You won't. You won't. That's amazing. That is amazing. That's our hope. What's your hope? What's your hope for your son or your daughter, your friend or neighbor who's just stuck? They're just in it. Your hope is they come to God and they're born of God. And He stops them. He stops them. That is so amazing. I've waited days to tell you that. So what about that? What about that person who says they're a Christian? And they walked away from God 30 years ago. 40 years ago, but they prayed that prayer, but then they walked away from God. Now they're no longer His. What about that person? I disagree. They weren't His. Because they can't walk away from God. They can't walk away and never come back. That prodigal will come walking back up the path sooner or later because they can't. What about that young person in your house? I'm so worried about you. Man, what if you get out there in the world and you see temptation and things and something grabs him and takes him out there and he never comes back? He never comes to God. Not if he's a child of God. Not if he's given his life to Jesus Christ. Will he go out there and mess up? Will he stumble a little bit? Yeah. Will he stay in sin? No. He can't. He can't. If he's a child of God, he can't. That prodigal will come walking back up the path someday. You can't walk away from God and not come back. You can't find a new sin and go out there and walk away and never come. And this whole sin has you now. This whore has you now. You can't because he won't let you. That's the best news I've ever heard. What about it can't? Man. Practice sin. remain in sin, be content in sin, chained to sin. You're unable to get away from this sin. It just has me and I can't quit. You can't. You're not born of God. If you're born of God, you can break every chain. You can unlock every cell. Even in the middle of the night when there's soldiers sitting all around you, you can walk out the door. You can't keep sinning. You can't remain in it. For a guy like me, that's the best stinking news I've ever heard. Is there a sin you can't overcome? No, apparently not. Come on up. We're going to sing a song. I don't know much about this song. Something to do with the peace of God. As we sing this song, I want to make this an invitation to you. I want to give you this time right now. And I want to give you the time to accept and be born of God and to make sure, maybe you think you do, you're not sure you do. I want to give you this time to say the same thing that he's saying. That you can't. You can't make yourself right. But you can't stay away from me once I come in and you're born and the Spirit comes in and the seed comes in. You won't. You can't. You can't walk away from me. You can't let me down. You can't fail me bad enough. I won't let you. I will drag you back with my Spirit. Beloved, you are the child of God. Now, born of God, the seed is in you. Sing these verses. If you've never, never, never been born of God, give yourself to Him. You want that Spirit to come in and set you free. You can do it. You can walk with Him. You can walk like you and talk like you. I want to be like you, and I can't without you. Come and take me. Come, come, come. Let's stand. That's an amazing love, man. I hope, maybe in your heart of hearts, you know you're safe. You know He's got you. If you don't, man, do it. Do it. Give it to Him and let Him do it. Let Him come in and protect and change and create in you. No illusions. No fantasy. Praying that prayer 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20, 30 years ago, that doesn't save anybody. When the Spirit of God comes in, the Spirit gives life and He changes you. And you can't. You can't go on anymore in your sin. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for the beauty and the power of your word, of your Spirit in us, stopping us cold in our sin, changing us and purifying, perfecting the love of God in us. Lord, I pray each person here is born of God. Today, you're a child, beloved of God, and peace floods over your soul. Continue to create in us, Jesus. Those who know you ought to walk like you and talk like you and be like you. Someday we will. Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Love you guys.